Perek Tes, page Kuf Mem. Achishin is Boilach Advar Melu. Nevar Oida Sheila Rishayna. Eich Yikne Ha'odam Hatzloch Ay De Maise HaTor. How is it possible for a person to achieve Shleimus through the Maisim that the Torah tells us to do? How is it possible for Mitzvahs Maisius through finite physical actions to acquire that which is infinite? How is that possible? Asher holchu b'derech chachmi ha-mechkar v'hem ha-philosophim asher zachanu l'mayla yidnu shem b'tferes al ha-seichel. So the philosophers and even the tzaddikim of our people who went in the way of chakira, of philosophy, they placed the seichel, the mind. That's what he says, Yidnu Shem Vitif Eris al Hasechel. The mind was promoted to the highest position of authority. Not that the moral has anything against the Seichel, but this became Yidnu Shem Vitif Eris al Hasechel Vayidei Hamuskolos Yikna Ha'adam Hanitzchis. The philosophers and the tzaddikim amongst them, we'll see the lashon of the Rambam in a minute. The philosophers believe that man's ultimate achievement is intellectual. That the greatest achievement of man is to understand. And that became the theme of all medieval philosophy, even amongst our own. The lashon, if you look in footnote 5, the shonim b'chadush ha'gadus l'b'chayris chesam and beis, dav is a yedua ki a philosoph mehim osim is a seichel ikar. Moral says it's known that the philosophers made the seichel into the essence of man, the most important. V'chayshvim ki nefesh ha'adam ein lo hisharus klal im ein ha'seichel. And therefore they believed that there can be no afterlife for the soul. The only afterlife is for the intellect. There is the essence of man is his intellect. And without intellect, man is nothing. You know, the Rambam is obviously going to have a problem with accepting the possibility of every Jew experiencing prophecy at Har Sinai. The Rambam is going to have a major problem with that. Because how do you explain how Moshe Kapoya and Yecham Yankel, you know, the guys like in the 28th row, you know, how are you going to explain people like that experiencing Nevuah, where they don't have the proper training when it comes to Muskolos, where the Seichel was not strong, where they did not develop intellectually? These were people who were underdeveloped, many of them underdeveloped intellectually. So what is that, is Galus of Har Sinai, the revelation of Sinai, all about? And the Rambam and Rabbi Yehuda Levi, Kedarkam Bakodesh, and others are disagreeing about this matter. But in the Rambam's eyes, the Seichel is the Iker, and Buzulas HaSeichel Ein Adam Klum, that's already extreme. The Rambam doesn't say Ein Adam Klum, but the essence is the Seichel. V'dov v'zeh etzel chach mi'Yisrael sheker bevadai. You hear the Lashon of Moral? He says, this by chach mi'Yisrael, he says, is sheker bevadai. Is absolutely false. This is not, when he says Chachmei Yisrael, it's his understanding of Chazal. His understanding of Torah is that the Seichel is not the Iker. The Seichel is not the Iker. Let's go back on top, after 5. She says, Vayidei Muskol Zik Nohad Manitzchis, V'yasu HaMaisim HaYishorm VaHatovim, and they agree that man should conduct himself in a moral, ethical way. Man should conduct himself in an ethical, moral way. K'mot chuna v'sulam, but this type of ethical, moral, ethical behavior, according to these philosophers, is only a chuna sulam, a ladder to be able to reach the tachlis of what? Of seichel. Which means, as the Rambam says in many, many places, that the mitzvahs of the Torah are going to direct man towards engaging in a peaceful, civilized life. And once man is able to live with another human being in a peaceful and healthy way. So then he can concentrate and focus on the muskalos, on developing intellectually, which is the tachlis of his life. So in the view of the philosophers, there's no question that moral ethical behavior is conducive to intellectual perfection. But that's what Amar is saying. It's a quality in a sulam, a ladder, a means. It's a means of what? Of reaching, of coming to that higher madrega, which is the tachlis of the muskalos of seichel. It's only a way of reaching the muskalos. Look at the lashon of the Rambam, footnote 6. The lashon of the Rambam. Kain mashem bernevuchim chel. Give me perek mandal. The Rambam writes over there. Shekosav sham hachochma hanemeres stam b'chol malkum v'yatachlus. The chochma, wherever Chazal speak of wisdom, it always means the tachlus, the ultimate. The ultimate wisdom, which is Hasagos Yisborch, contemplating Hashem, understanding more about Hashem. Ve'elu haKinyanim sheYiknem haAdam einem shleimus. All the other Kinyanim, moral mitzvahs, Ma'isim Tovim, they're great. They're means to an end. The end is the intellect. These are all means drawing man closer to the end of perfecting the intellect. But the Rambam says, all of these kinyanim are einam shleimus. This is not, these kinyanim of midas and ma'asim tovim and all of that, all of those acquisitions of a person in this world are not shleimus. They're not perfection. And through them man cannot become perfect. V'shemayisei ha-Torah kulam v'atzalom aminei ha-avodos v'chein ha-midas ha-mo'ilos kol ze'ein l'damoso la-tachlis ha-achron. Here the Rambam is very clear. All of the midas of the Torah and all of the ma'isim that the Torah is teaching us how to live and what to do cannot equal what? The final ultimate goal, tachlis ach, v'lo yashva bay, cannot equal, which is the perfection of the mind, of the intellect. Avol heim hatzo'os, which in the Rambam's terminology means emtsoim, means, right, like a ladder, means biglal zeh tachlis, to bring. I mean, the tachlis of mitzvah and ma'asim Torah is to come to Torah. The tachlis of mitzvah and ma'asim Torah is to be able to enable you to free yourself of a certain type of a grossness of physical life, an attachment to unrefined physical things that will not permit your mind to focus on the true tachlis, on the intellect. And therefore, the mitzvahs of ma'asim tovim are there for the purpose of freeing the intellect, of giving the mind the ability to function in a healthy and perfected way. That's the Rambam.
I'm sorry, just a bit of clarification on that.
Yeah.
Is he saying that those are part of the shleimus, or he's saying that shleimus is only in the sichlius, and until you can get to the sichlius, you have to be mashal the other ones?
That's the question about the Rambam. It's a very big question. These are shleimus hamidas. The same way when the Rambam writes in Yisaidat Torah about nevuah, about darchei nevuah, the ways of nevuah, the ways of prophecy. So it seems quite clear that midas, mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, although they have inherent value because they are correct ways of acting and godly ways of acting, ultimately they are tenoim, they are conditions to bring man to the highest state, which is to be a Navi. To be a Navi. To say that they're meaningless, God forbid, without reaching the tachlis, or for the person who never reaches the tachlis, no, the Rambam does not go that far. The philosopher certainly did, but the Rambam does not go that far. He doesn't go that far. But it's hard to understand why not. It sounds like he's heading in that direction. So he says, Ushma divrehem. Look inside. Ushma divrehem elu ha'inyonim b'lashonim. V'ubereishis Rambam. The Rambam says, just listen to what the Chacham say. He says, just listen to Chazal. Kol sevechad oimer kol chafotzim lo yishvu ba. So one pasuk says that nothing can equal the Torah. The kosu of echad oimer v'kol chafatzecha lo yishvu ba. All of your things, Hashem, cannot equal it. Chafotzim elu mitzvahs amasim toivim. Chafetzecha elu avonim toivis umargolius. Chafotzim chafetzecha yishvu. But the Chazal end up saying in the Medrash that anything of this world, fine jewels, the most expensive things in the world, certainly cannot equal Torah. But not only that, but even chefzei shamayim. Even what? Even chefzei mitzvah. Even tas and tefillin. And tefillah. And midas taivis. Chafotzim lo yashvu bo. Chafetzecha. In other words, the one pasuk is directing itself towards what? Towards the all possible things in existence, chafotzim, including mitzvahs amasim toiv, can't equal Torah. Chafotzecha means your personal chafotzim can never equal Torah. So the Rambam says, Ella. This is the only true glory, is understanding Hashem, reaching higher levels of intellectual awareness and perception of God. That's the Rambam. The Maral sees this without God forbid, without diminishing the greatness and the covet of Torah. The Maral, this is included in what the Maral referred to as sheker, as being false. A false understanding of Torah, a false understanding of Ratzon Hashem. Those of you who are familiar with the differences that were in the early generations of Chassidim, and the main difficulty that was there between the world of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and the world of the Baal HaTanya, is in this nekuda of the meaning of whether or not Torah is the tachlis, or Torah itself is a means of getting to a greater end. And even the Baal HaTanya was struggling with it, because if you go through the ksavim of the Baal HaTanya, in Tanya itself, and then in the other ksavim of the Baal HaTanya, so sometimes the Baal HaTanya sounds like one of the greatest supporters of the Vilna Gaon Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And certainly he was a worthy supporter. The Baal HaTanya was a very good learner, as you know. And then there are other places where a parak later, a chapter later, the Baal HaTanya is like the Chassidish Rebbe, that the Holy Union of Torah is mamish to come to Dveikus, to Tefillah, to Hizdabkus, to the Bairi, and so on. The Maharal, you could see already how the Maharal is going to become a favorite of the Talmud Baal Shem Tov. This already, you'll see how the Maharal, that the Kozhen Tzur Magid and the Yidah Kaddish and the Tzaddikim, the Talmud Baal Shem Tov, were the ones who really revived the Maharal. The Ksavim of the Maharal were there, they were largely neglected, they weren't learned. The Rebbe Rabbeinu from Pshischa on Kotsk, the Baal HaTanya, when he says in the introduction of Tanya, Soifrim, Svarim, Besoifrim, there's a Kabbalah, you know, he was a descendant of the Maharal. Baal HaTanya was an Einikel from the Maharal. The teachings certainly of Chabad are very, very much based upon concepts that are found in Maral. Avnei Nezer, Sachetshov, and Kotsk, and Ger is like Kemat Kula Maral. But you already see that, you're going to see in this parak very clearly this difference, where this difference that between the that we already have between the Rishon and the Rambam, Yudalevi, and others. Later on, the Maharal with the Rambam, Rambam and Ramban, and how this is going to, over time, develop into the machloikas between the Chassidim and the Misnayim. This is all beginning here. Back on top of 56. Look at these words. So he says, they saw mitzvahs and masim toivim as a ladder to climb upon, right? That's what he said, to reach the tachlis, which is what? The tachlis are the muskalos, is understanding, is the intellect. That's the ladder that they climbed on. Now look at the next three words. Umizeha sulam naflu. And they fell from the ladder. They fell from the ladder. He's not talking about the Rambam, God forbid. God forbid. But he's talking about the philosophers, they fell from the ladder. Meaning, the morals giving a shtach over here is that they didn't reach the muskalas either. They didn't reach the muskalas. Besides that, it's sheker, but they didn't even reach the muskalas. Here's one of his favorite terms. I love when he uses this. V'nachnu talmidei Moshe Rabbeinu l'mashon. We are the students of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you think about that, it's a gewaldig sentence. V'nachnu talmidei Moshe Rabbeinu l'mashon. We have a good rabbi. Kamnu v'nisayda. We, however, we rise up and we're victorious, we're strengthened. Ayet teres Hashem u'mitzvayisav. V'ayikra she'haviyim l'zeh. Now, why did the philosophers, even Jewish ones, why, according to the Maharal, did they stumble into this mistake? What he sees is a serious error, a serious mistake. Why? Shahayarochek mehem, sheyiha maisi hagash mihatzlochas hanefesh hanivdal. The philosophers could not accept that man's simple physical acts, that certain actions, with all kinds of details, do like this, do like that, don't do this, don't do that. The philosophers could not accept that maisim gashmiyim, that a physical act could bring the soul to its ultimate perfection, which is totally spiritual. I mean, they saw that the ultimate perfection of man is one where he's finally rid of the body, which is not true according to Mekubalim. The ultimate perfection of man is what? Is by the Olamat Chiya, when the dead will come back to life in a physical body. But in their way of looking at it, and the Rambam, the ultimate end of man is purely spiritual. So how could it be that man's perfection lies in something which is physical? So the philosophers couldn't hear this. Ulakach oz was es hamayse ha'adam. Therefore they rejected the importance of halacha, of acts, of physical acts. V'nish'anu al ha-seichel, and he relied upon the seichel, the intellect.
At this point he's referring to Talmidei
Chachamim. No, I'm not sure.
Because then what would be the point of
the... What do you mean?
If he's saying that the mitzvahs don't get us anywhere, then why would they do that?
I don't.
If he's saying that mitzvahs don't take you, if he's saying that the philosophers believe that mitzvahs don't help us achieve anything.
No, he never said that. He said that the philosophers agree that a certain type of behavior is a means of helping you reach the muskalos, but only through the muskalos, through the intellect, can you, which is spiritual and transcendent, can you reach a transcendent life of the world to come. But the philosophers agreed that if you don't engage in certain types of behavior, mitzvah samasim tovim, that you're going to end up to be a wild beast in the jungle.
Wouldn't that more apply to the Los Azmes?
No, in terms of... No. Primarily, but it also involves certain correct types of behavior that would lead to a person having that kind of civilization, that kind of a life, where he would be able to focus on the muskolas. There are a lot of positive acts that are involved in that. Shabbos and a lot of other things which could be explained according to that. V'hinei lo rocho kul adam. The Maharal says, it really is not something which is irrational. Lo rochok means it's not irrational. Lo rochok hu lo adam she'ef sheliknos hatzlocha ruchonis ayde emaisem atovim. It's really not irrational to say. It's not against the seichel to say that one can acquire ruchnis dik hatzlocha, spiritual perfection and fulfillment, al yidei hamaisem atovim, by physical acts, by maisem atovim. Kamar tefila v'abakosha, the mitzvah of tefila and bakosha, of davening, ulerachim alabrius bitzdaka, and to have compassion upon others by giving charity. V'las is dinu mishpat, and to establish courts and so on. V'lehov is amison, to love other Jews. V'shol olavet elohim achayim, not to worship other gods. V'shol levarach is Hashem, not to chas Hashem to curse Hashem. V'shol aligzo v'lachmes v'lishpech dam. People understand. Not to steal, not to murder. V'shol likach sheichad l'galas arayis, and there shouldn't be any bribery or immorality. V'chayetze behem. It's not, the Maharal says, it's not rochek min haseichel, it's not irrational to say that by being careful of these things and by observing these things that one can reach a level of hatzlacha ruchanis. Shaha mitzvah shehi lavad Hashem isbarach, Kitfila ubakash. He says, for instance, one of the mitzvahs, and stam mitzvah that's called avoida, it's called work, is what is tefila? Tefila bakosha davening. This mitzvah, lavad Hashem is baruch ketefila bakosha, v'his shvarchek milavad Elohei Nechar, and the mitzvah that says, and the iser, not to worship foreign gods, for other worship idols, kulam tchuna lenefesh, these are all a means of the soul, lezakech oisa, purifying, refining the soul, letahar oisa mepchisas achayim, and to refine it and purify it from the lowness of physical matter. V'tzorech lahoshiv anefesh b'poil, meaning that the responsibility of a person in this world is to restore the soul to its previous glory, to bring the nefesh back to its origins, to its beginning, to its root and its source. And to refine, to purify the soul through these actions. And to become attached to Hashem through serving Him. Shezo tachlis ha-hatzloch. This is the tachlis ha-hatzloch. We're going to look at the note in a minute. The tachlis of ha-hatzloch according to the moral is not what you understand. The tachlis according to the moral is what we've been learning the last few program. The tachlis according to the moral is dveikus b'Hashem, is being attached to Hashem. And being attached to Hashem means serving Him. Being subjugated, it means being completely meshubit Him. And he explains this on a deeper level than in the last paragraph. Look at footnote 12. Aydais sha'avaydis Hashem perusha dveikus b'Hashem, that serving Hashem means attachment to Hashem, cleaving to Hashem. Rei dvar b'nesiv ha'avaydis ha'kosav, over there the Maral writes, u'beperek kamad etan is tanya, la'havas Hashem lokechem la'avdai. The Gemara Tanis identifies that loving Hashem and serving Him is zu tefila, that's davening. Davening is called Avodas Hashem. Umashe nikra tefila avoda. So Maral explains, why is tefila, why is davening called avoda? Ki atfila shemis, no, servitude. Ki atfila shemis palo ha'odem al Hashem is baruch. When a person davens, what does that reveal? Moirish ha'odem nisla by his baruch. It shows that I depend completely upon Him. It means I depend upon Him. I have nothing without Him, otherwise why am I asking Him for these things? In other words, if you feel that someone else is providing your health, if someone else is providing your children, if someone else is providing you with a shidduch, it's very, very hard to put your karkas into davening, into asking Hashem. Only a person who feels that whether or not he has children, or whether or not he has health, or he has panosa, depends completely upon what? On Hashem Yisbarach. Only a person who believes in that can really daven. What's the definition of an eved? The definition of an eved is someone who has nothing of his own. That's what an eved is. He has nothing of his own. Mashakana eved. When an eved acquires, he can't acquire. He doesn't have his own separate identity. He's completely, utterly dependent. Utterly dependent. Which is why many people don't like Hashem. So it's a good reason not, for many people not to care for Hashem. Generally, the nature of human beings, I'm going to talk much more about this in the Shabbos year, as I'm thinking about something today, have it in my mind. But generally, the way it is that when you depend upon someone, you begin to dislike them. Someone's giving you something for a long time, and you you depend upon that person. That's why there are many, many people that hate Jews for no other reason, that they've depended upon us. Entire nations and countries and people, civilization as a whole, hates us. That's one of the reasons for it. Because there's this dependency upon us, right? So, what's amazing here is that Avodas Hashem means when a person is absolutely, completely dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he realizes that he has nothing without Hashem. That's what it means to be an Eved. V'tzarech Eilav. He needs Hashem. V'tzarech Eilav. Ve'ein lo kiyum zulasa. He has no existence without God. That means what? That's the nature of our relationship to Hashem. All of creation, everything that exists, is utterly dependent upon Him. Adsha, kol al Hashem is baruch. Therefore, everything has its eyes turned to Hashem. Everything is attached to Hashem. Everything is plugged into Hashem. Lefichach, therefore, hatfila hi avayd al Hashem is baruch. Davening is avayd al Hashem is baruch. V'lo hayir min Hashem is baruch. Fearing God is not called avayda. Yiras Hashem is called Yiras Hashem. Davening is called avayda. Le'ahavas Hashem, loving, ula'avda, loving, and davening is called what? That's taka called avayda. Yiras Hashem is not called avayda. Why? V'lo hayirim in Hashem is baruch. She'ein ze nikra avayda. It's not called avayda. Ki ein ze moirish ha'odan nitle bayis baruch. Fakir. Yira, as the Tanya says in many places, and the Svar Makadoshim explain, fear is something which pushes you away, which causes you to retreat. When you're afraid, you try to run away. You try to move away. Yishbitze explained in Beis Yankiv, Parashat Kedoshim, he explains that it says in the Pasuk that the Goyim also fear God. They also are afraid of Hashem. So he explains, what does that mean? That they also fear. It says in Daniel. What does it mean that they're afraid of Hashem? So the Radzina, the Rabbi Yankel Lishbitz explains in Beis Yaakov that they're afraid and they run away. They're afraid and they run away. They try to get out of it. They don't want to confront. They're terrified of confronting the reality of God's presence, which is everywhere, every moment. Therefore, they're borchim mipan av yisborach. They're trying to escape and run away. They are afraid, but it's not yira. That's why you have to be very, very careful, especially if you're talking to someone who's not from a religious background, even if they've been religious for a little while. You have to always be careful. If you're learning a sefer and it says Yiras Hashem, I never translate it. I'm learning with people to say afraid of God. I remember as a kid hearing that and it made me afraid. So aren't we supposed to be afraid? There's a difference. There's a difference between Yiras Hashem, to revere and to have awe, and where that's coming from a healthy place, and poshet, which means to be afraid. Although on the most basic level of avada, we have to be afraid not to do something wrong. But what he's saying here is that yira is not called avayda, because yira does not necessarily draw you closer. For many people, yira turns them away. They're afraid and they run away. Ki ein zem marish adam nitla b'yizbarach, because the one who is afraid doesn't necessarily feel that I have to turn every moment. I'm trying to avoid this one. I'm trying to run away. Ahava, huh?
Shuvim Yira is the same Yira, or that's real fear?
Well, there's different levels of Yira, and there's Yira Saranimus, which is a subcategory of Ahava, and there are different levels of Yira. You're talking about plain old-fashioned, being afraid. So, Avilat Tfila, Davening, Mayri Shahadim Nitl Beisbar. That shows that you're completely dependent on Hashem, that you have nothing else besides Hashem. That's why, like Rabbi Nachum Breslov said, that when a Jew is davening, you should imagine himself hanging by a hair from heaven, being held over the ocean, and in any second they might let go. That's how a person davens. It means with this feeling that I'm mamish completely in Hashem Baruch's hands. But it's not only when you, God forbid, in such a situation, chas v'chalilo, when you're in a dangerous situation over there, everybody feels that there's nobody besides God. But it means, like on a regular, on a regular Thursday night when you say Kriya Shema Lamita. When you daven Maariv on a regular, that's a hergish. Like the Mishnah said, Neisal Holchu b'Yabosha b'Seichayam b'Seichayam b'Yabosha. It says they went into the dry land, into the water. They went in the water, the dry land. It switches it. So the Mishnah said that the truth is that a Jew has to know that when you're walking on dry land, it's just as miraculous as walking through the ocean. And if not for Hashem holding you every single second, you wouldn't be able to survive. You wouldn't make it. That feeling of complete and utter dependency upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu yisbarach hakol, that Hashem is everything. See, I once wrote about this many years ago in an article. That's why it's one of the reasons why it's so hard for modern man to daven. It's so hard for people nowadays to daven. You can learn the daf yomi from brachas to luktsin, and it's for some people it's easier than one geshmak davening. Why? Because it's very hard for a modern man to admit that he's utterly dependent upon Hashem. In the old days it was possible, because he felt that. Like the Gemara says about farmers. The Gemara says, Emunah Sitecha, that farmers have a lot of Emunah. Why do farmers have a lot of Emunah? Because what are they going to do? So the farmer, the Gemara says, Zareya, he plants, right? He puts the seeds in. And all he can do is to believe in the one who created the world, that he'll send rain and the weather will be okay. Nowadays, you don't have to know. I'll get artificial this, I'll do that. And it could be, you know, we could create something. We'll put something together in the laboratory. But that's in a very advanced, in a very simple level. Modern man is very, very filled with a sense of his own power, of his own strength, of his own abilities. Our ancestors didn't have that. It was much easier for them to daven. Our grandmothers and great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers, it was very easy for them to daven. They felt in the most profound way that I have absolutely nothing without the Baruch Shalom. Nowadays, someone says, listen, even if this is only Chas V'Shalom sentence, even if Chas V'Shalom, Hashem doesn't work out for me, I always have the information on my computer. I have a backup. Like someone was telling me, I asked, like, from the World Trade Center, so I had, like, the Chevra was, like, they're all, you know that Mincha Maariv? That day, September, that Mincha Maariv was unbelievable. I mean, it was like Neila Shabanila, right? So the guys, like the ones they like, were walking all day. Guys came home. The guys didn't get there, and like we're just asking, you know, what happened? Is everybody home? What's going on? So we're standing there by Mincha Maariv. It was unbelievable. So I said, what happened? And there's a guy that I know who works across the street. So what happened? He says, what even happened? It's not there anymore. It's gone. So I said, so what's it going to be? He says, don't worry, we have it in Midtown, we're all on computer. It's all there. We have it. It's not lost. Nothing's lost anymore. Everything is retrievable, everything is there. I have it. So it's very hard for a modern man to feel that he's totally, totally empty and has nothing. Which the Tanya says in the Kutta Torah that our people only began to daven after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's when the Seder of Tefillah really began, right? After the Churban, is when the whole Seder of Tefillah, as we know it, began to develop. So the Tanya explains now why. Because only when a Jew's in the Midbar, he becomes a Medaber. Only when you feel that there's absolutely nothing, then you begin to talk to Rabbi Yishlom. So as long as we even had Korbanis in the Beis HaMikdash, we were depending upon it. We were depending upon it, you know? So if it's there, so then I don't feel entirely empty. Even ruchnistic things, a person can become complacent and depend upon it. You know, of course we have God in our midst. We have 10 Shema Shabbos takeout places. How could it be that we don't have, you know, any kind of kishki you want? We don't have God in our midst. But if you'd be, God forbid, left alone in the desert with one canteen and a 3-day walk, oh, we were daven over there good. And he said, I can't believe it. There's no milmat out here. There's only the Baruch Shalom. That's it. And you know what? It's the same thing here. And that's how the tzaddik davens. It's the same thing. That's what it means to be nitla b'yizbarach. Tefillah is avoida. Avoida here means an eved. Because an eved knows that if his master does not give him breakfast, he's not going to eat. He knows that. With absolute certainty, he knows that. So, you know, I'm sure you remember the famous maaser from the Rebbe Gzusha. It was just his yahrzeit. Beis Shvat is the Rebbe Gzusha's yahrzeit. So, you know, there's a famous maaser that the Rebbe Gzusha used to sit down after davening. He would come home. And he would lean back and he would say, "Nu, Baruch Shalom, good morning. Should be good for all Yidden today." And he said, "Zushi is hungry. It's time for Zushi to have breakfast." And that was the cue. And then the Shamas, when he heard that, he did this for years. You know this Ma'aser, right? The Shamas would come out and bring the Rebbe of Zushi's breakfast. And he would say, "Baruch Shalom, thank you." So Shamas couldn't take this after a while. Like, Baruch Shalom. You know, so finally, the Shamas decides no matter what, he's not bringing it. So Rebbe Abzushia comes back after shul. Good morning, Rebbe Shalom. This and that. Rebbe Shalom Abzushia is hungry. It's time for Zusha to eat. The Shams is standing there with the, in the kitchen, laughing. He's not moving. So Rabbi Zusha says, Rabbi Yishlom, it's getting late. Zusha's hungry. It's time for Zusha to have breakfast. All of a sudden, the door opens. A Yid walks in with a huge platter of cakes and delicious things. And he says, thank you, Rabbi Yishlom. And he says, Shkoyach, and he makes a bracha. So the Shamus goes out the back door, goes running after that guy. He goes, who are you? Never saw him before, who are you? So he says, I'm a stranger. He says, who are you? What are you bringing for? That's my job. What are you doing over here? So he says, listen. He said, I traveled very, very far to come to ask the Rebbe Bezushia for bracha. My wife and I haven't had children. So I came so far to see the Rebbe Bezushia. A crazy thing happened. So I got to town early this morning. The sun was just coming up. So I got to town. And you know, they have these little drawbridges, like, you know, wooden planks with the strings over some river. And there's only room for one person to walk. And I was in a hurry. I wanted to get to Davin so I can go to see the rabbi. And there's an altar yid that's walking over there. And he's taking his time. And I couldn't take it anymore. I had to get to shul. So I said, excuse me, old man, will you please move over? And I gave him a little bit of a nudge, and he had to stand against the rope. And he, you know, and I went past him. And when I got to the other side, there was a million of people looking at me in horror. And I said, everything okay? What's wrong, fellas? So they said, you know, just push the Rebbe Bezushia. Just pushed over the Rebbe Bezushia. I said, oh my God, what am I going to do? So he said, I didn't even daven yet. I ran to different places to get together something, to bring a matana, to bring a gift to appease the tzaddik. So after that, he didn't mind. The Shabbos kept on bringing the breakfast. You know, but the Rebbe Bezushia doesn't, you see, if you, I would do that. Besides, the wife would throw a pot at you. You know, Moshe's ready for breakfast. And Moshe, go get breakfast. But besides that, it wouldn't work for us because we don't believe it. We don't believe it. See, the Rebbe Bezushia, you think the Rebbe Bezushia didn't know that the Shabbos is bringing him, but he saw the Shabbos in such a way that it was mamish. It was just a shlich directly from the Rebbe Shlom. He saw it in such a way. If we would live that way, then panos and other things would be the same thing. It's not dafke. But that's what tefillah is. Tefillah is the time when a Jew says, Rebbe Shlom, Moshe is tired, Moshe is hungry, Moshe needs a refuah. Another Jew needs a yeshua. But if you don't believe in it the rest of the day, so that's not, that voida doesn't take you through the day. If the davening, it could end. But that's what he's saying here. That's what Avayda means. The end of the footnote, footnote 12. Ve'ein kiim le'ba'atzma kiim bo yizbarach kasher hodam nitl bo yizbarach kilu nikur ilav. And that's what draws you close to Hashem. Being dependent and utterly lifeless without Him is what makes you attached to Him. We're going to talk much more about that. That's what the whole chapter is about. That draws you near. That brings you closer to Him. Look, we're a husband and wife. There's complete and total dependency, one on the other. Which I'm going to talk about Shabbos Yom, which if you think about it, really, if it doesn't work out, can make them hate each other's guts. Because, again, al-bidach ha-teva, you begin to despise someone that's your caretaker. Look how uncomfortable it is for an older parent to have children take care of them, right? They feel so uncomfortable. Because I always took care of you, now you're taking care of me. It's not the right way. So, dependency, when it's not in the way of Torah, when it's not with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, or even with the husband and wife, if it's not done in the proper way, and we'll see what that means, that can take two people apart from each other. But when it's real, so adarabba, with a husband and wife, it's etzem atzamai, the mamish one and the same. A husband and wife are from the same neshama, mamish the same neshama. Therefore, the fact that they're dependent upon each other means only I'm dependent upon my deepest self. And therefore, it doesn't take you away, it brings you near. It brings you near. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the essence of a Jew. Every single Jew is filled with Elokus. And being absolutely dependent upon Him and realizing how I have nothing without Him doesn't take you far away from Him, it brings you closer to Him. It's a pell, it's a wondrous thing. But that's how it works. Shekol Ashehu Taila Ba'acher Hu Nikra V'Nimser Elav. If you're dependent upon, you need, then you're near. Therefore, davening is complete avoided Hashem Yisbarach. This concept he explains in much greater detail, not here, but in the Nesiv HaVayda over there. In the Nesivus Olam, the Nesiv HaVayda, which is amazing, the whole paragimel through Yud Beis, all the program there, what they talk about, Tefillah and the Holy Nesiv HaVayda. Back on top, after 12. Shezel Tachlis HaTzlocha, K'moy Shemedel, HaVakosuv, it says in Pasuk. This is the ultimate Hatzlach, it says in Pasuk. Vaisa nefesh adayin yitzur b'sura chayim es Hashem elokecha. The greatest perfection that man can reach is not of the intellect. It's his soul being bound with Hashem. Vaisa nefesh adayin yitzur b'sura chayim es Hashem elokecha. That's the greatest. That's what it means to be eternally near Hashem forever and ever. That's what Nitzchias means. Dveikis to Hashem. That's what it is. That's the meaning of Nafshei Tzura B'Tzura Chayim, which he explains more in the footnote. And the opposite of that, if you have a chance, look in the footnote later. But he says V'Hepech Zeh. So the ultimate good is man being attached to Hashem, and through that attachment to Hashem, one achieves immortality, because only Hashem is immortal. And by being attached to Him and resembling Him, as the Maral explains, you too achieve immortality. Man's intellect is finite. Certainly Talmud Torah is one of the mitzvahs, and in terms of that, Talmud Torah is the greatest of mitzvahs. He talks about it. But immortality can come only as a result of being attached to the one who is immortal. That's the only way it can be achieved. Therefore, immortality is the result of a life that's led es Hashem Elokecha, a life of attachment to Hashem. Mitzvahs, Masam Tovim, Talmud Torah, Tefillah, Es Hashem Elokecha. The Hepech Zeh, and the opposite of that, Ha'avdain, complete and total loss and destruction, Hu HaKrisa V'HaPirud M'Enim Yisbarach, is when one is separated from Hashem. That's absolute destruction. Being separate from Him. And that's the meaning of Koris. K'mo She'omer B'chol Malkom Al Ha'avdain, as it says in Torah, He Koris Tichras. Being kares means being cut off. Krisis min Hashem Yisbarach. Like it says, a get, it says in Torah, not sefer krisis biyada. Sefer krisis means a book of separation. The word kares means to be separate, to be detached. The most horrible thing is detachment from Hashem. that's utter desolation and destruction. In footnote 15, uperusho krisis min Hashem Yisbarach, v'chein kosa b'nesach yisrael reish parak tes. So those are various in the Torah for which a person gets kares. Those are various for which a person gets kares, or the mitzvah aseh, which is carbon pesach and bris milah. The neglect of those two brings kares. But where there's kares in the Torah, that punishment means krisus min Hashem Yisbarach. It means being separate from Hashem. Kidechsiv. He kares by the mazeh tichrais loylam haba. It means being cut off from Him in this world and the world to come. We're going to Mitzvah learn something in Nigeres Hatshuva. If you have a chance, you'll see there from Baal Tanya. Nigeres Hatshuva in the back of the Tanya. He talks about kares. Yaakov chevel nachalosam. Every mitzvah is like, you know, a rope. A thick rope is composed of many strings. So Yaakov is chevel nachalosam, that a Jew is attached to Hashem by a rope. And that rope, Yaakov Chevel Nachaloso, that rope consists of the 613 mitzvahs, with all the drabbanans and all the minhagim. That's the rope. And any time that a Jew, God forbid, is careless, it depends what kind of an aver it is. Something snaps. Kares Chalila means that you're severed. Now you can go on living. You can even dive for the Amud like that. You can dive for the Amud, you have Mafti Yaina like that. But something has changed. It was the Tanya talks more about over there in the Gersa Tshuva. Uberamban vayikra biya shekrisis perusha shanefesh nichresis misheris kiyuma haroi. He explains there that the soul, the Ramban explains that the soul is cut off from its source, ki anaf hanichras min ha'ilan, like a branch that's cut off from its tree. It can go on living for a while. It looks like a branch. It smells like a branch. But eventually, it's not going to make it. Shemimenu yichya shorsho. It's cut off from the source of its life. Ki imcha mekor chayim. Ba'orcha nirah or. Ki imcha mekor chayim. With Hashem is the source of life. And without Hashem, there can't be life. Therefore, the moral saying is that it's not the intellect that gives the, and that rope is made of every mitzvah, of every prat, the raises, the rabbanans. It's a rope that Rabbi Nachman was talking about, that you're hanging from the highest heavens and you held over the deepest ocean. It's that rope of Dveikus Hashem, of feeling that I have nothing and no one, only Him. And living in accordance to His will, that creates that Dveikus.
When did the Rambam going to argue on that? All the Amar Chazal and the Pesukim, like the one we read, to talk about Dveikus and being attached to Hashem. So the Rambam, am I right, the Rambam would interpret that to be the intellectual Hasagas that we spoke about?
Correct.
So you could phrase both as the mitzvahs being a means, just it's where that. What the Maharal calls Dveikus, it's not the same thing, I understand. What the Maharal calls Dveikus, the Rambam would say it leads you towards the intellectual understanding.
Right.
But it's a means, in a way, it's a means either way.
Oh, no, the Maharal also.
Only means according to the Maharal.
Well, the Maharal says that when you do a mitzvah, what the Maharal is saying is the actual mitzvah itself is medabik yuta Hashem. Whereas the Rambam says that the actual mitzvah itself is only paves the way for you to be able to facilitate your Dveikus Hashem with the intellect. So the morale, therefore, you can understand why that again, why the Talmid Baal Shem Tov would see that Yankel of Tehillim Zager is a Choshev guy. Before the Baal Shem Tov, you know, he was a nobody. But the Baal Shem Tov saw in the saying of Tehillim, Behemis Hayisi Imach, and saw in Mitzvah Samasim Tovim, not only a means to an end, but an end to itself. So in the morale's world, every mitzvah is itself Dveikus Hashem, Bifnei Atzma. In other words, it doesn't depend upon just leading it to something.
Is there a siyasa mitzvah according to the morale that does not lead to Dveikus?
Is there
a way to do a mitzvah in a way that it does not lead to Dveikus?
If a person does it without any kavan at all, so then it's like the Zohar says, like parcha la'ela, which the morale talks about, it doesn't achieve the highest state of Dveikus. But remember that according to the morale, even if you don't understand, doesn't mean you have to understand. Doesn't mean the guy has to be a Talmud Chacham.
I'm just wondering if that Kavana in any way relates to the Rambam's Seicha.
There are many good Jews before me and you have tried to do that. Have tried to make that connection. It's not poshut like that. But we'll see more. We're going to see more. There's a lot here. But when you, after, that's why I always tell people, if you learn Chassidus, if you learn Maharal, especially Tiferes Yisrael, again, I tell you, it's so hard, you see it's a hard melacha, but when you learn Maharal and you chaz and you understand, and then you start to see what's going on in the Svar Makadosh, and you start to learn afterwards, Svasemis, and Avnenezer, the Avnenezer's Torah, Shem Yishmul, so you, and you learn Tanya, you see where it's all coming from. It's all mamish ashiv. It's all drawing from the morals, teachings. Everything. Back on top after 15. Upeishu chachamim tikaris ba'ilam haba nimsa haschar hu adavik ba'yisbarach. Therefore, the ultimate reward, the ultimate perfection of man, the ultimate that man can reach, is what? Is dveikus, to be dovik to Hashem. The most horrible punishment is not misunderstanding, is not comprehending. The most horrible punishment is akris of hapirud mimenu, is being separate from him, is being taken away, is being separate from him. Here in footnote 18 is very important. This is what we were talking about before. Va'od odos shahadvekes b'ashem genezes b'seicha chayim nitzchiyim. That only through dvekes b'ashem, and as the philosopher said, it can be that by doing these things, by putting on tefillin, or by saying certain words, like abracadabra, that I'm going to be rewarded in a spiritual way. How can I'm doing these empty physical acts? How's that going to lead to any kind of spiritual ultimate perfection? So therefore, it can't. These are only means of achieving intellectual perfection, which then can lead you to that higher state of dveikus, of attachment. So the moral is saying, the moral is teaching, no. Dveikus b'Hashem, being attached to Hashem, is itself the only possible source of what? Of an afterlife, of immortality. Man's intellect is not capable of vitality at all. Man's intellect is capable of bringing a lot of death and destruction to the world, that's for sure. But immortality hasn't worked out. Hinei Nemar, it says in Tillim, Ki imcha mekor chayim, only with you is the source of life. That's all. Ki imcha mekor chayim. You just think of that pasuk. Next time you get upset at work or it looks like the deal is falling through, just, you have to think of this 1,000 times. Ki imcha mekor chayim. Not him, not imo or imo or ima. Imcha mekor chayim. Ki imcha mekor chayim. That's all. V'chein nema. V'atem adveikim b'Hashem ulekeichem chayim kulchem ayayim. Those who are attached to Hashem, only they are living, and living here means not just this moment, but forever. Ubeder chayim pekvav mishnaches kosef. Ki hu yizbarach echad bilvad v'ein zelos Hashem is one. Therefore, anything in this world that exists, that's alive, man, or anything else, the reason that anything can exist in the world is because Hashem gives life. Because somehow everything in the world has some attachment to Hashem. That's the only way that it can possibly, that's the only way that this thing could possibly exist. Because it still has some attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or else it couldn't exist. You know, Rav Moshe Lipsasever, you know when his Yahrzeit is? Rav Moshe Lipsasever's Yahrzeit is today. Rav Moshe Lipsasever? Oh, I'm sorry. I can't you for that. But Sfasamis is Hei Shvat. Rav Moshe Lipsasever is Dalish Shvat. Dalish Shvat. Right, Sfasamis is Hei is tonight. Rav Moshe Lipsasever was Kodesh HaKadoshim. He was by Mizrach HaMagid. So Rav Moshe Lipsasever, there was once a Yid. No, it wasn't in Lahav, there wasn't a Yid. It was very late at night. And you know, the Tzaddik was the only place where there was a candle burning. So somebody came pounding on the door. And Rav Moshe Lipsasever looks, and he opens the door a little bit. And he sees there's a shikr. Oh, he wasn't Jewish. A guy, a shikr, standing over there. And he starts to push the door, and Moshe Lipsasever says, go away. So he says, I need a place to sleep, Rabbi. So Moshe Lipsasever says, so go to your father, your priest, and get a place to sleep. What are you coming here? What are you bothering me? So listen to what the shikr says to Moshe Lipsasever. Moshe Lipsasever used to say, ah, that shikr. He said, I don't understand. This is what the shikr, the guy said to Moshe Lipsasever. He says, Rabbi, I don't understand. It seems, that in God's eyes, there still is a reason for me to be in this world. But in the eyes of the Rabbi of Sasev, there's no makom for me. He doesn't have a place for me. God still has a makom for me in his world, but Rav Moshe Lipsasev doesn't have a makom for me. You understand? He says, all right. And they let him in. Rav Moshe Lipsasev, you say over from this guy, this shikr, this Torah that he heard from him. That what? That if you have a makom as long as you're alive, it means you have a place in God's world. You have a makom. So it might not be a good makom. It might be a bad makom, but you have a makom. And that's why Hashem is called makom. Right? Mekom shalom baruch hamakom baruch hu. So therefore the moral says over here that mitzias, anything that exists, it can only exist because why? Because Hashem is a living God. And He gives life to all those who are attached to Him. Therefore, those who exist independent of God, who think they exist independent of God, they have nothing. All they have is what Hashem gives them. All they have. So some little homeless guy that's sitting someplace, you know, saying Tehillim or something, that he has more life, he's more alive than some mindless millionaire, right? He's more alive. And if you tell that to the millionaire, he'd think you're a lunatic. But if you would tell it to that, if you tell it to that, if that person's a tzaddik, I mean, if you tell it to Stamma poor man, he'd also say you're a lunatic. But if you tell it to a tzaddik who's poor, he'd say you're 100% right. He'd say you're 100% right. Because he knows that every single thing is mashma shpil Hashem's baruch, he's an eved. B'zah Hashem's baruch echad ve'ein zol also. Hashem is unique. B'zah shomar ki imcha mekor chayim. With you is the source of life. Ba'orach ha'nira or, and in your light there is light. That's what it means. Only those who are dovek to Hashem. And you could tell dvekus by how a Jew davens. That's not that you or I could tell, but the measure of dvekus is by that feeling of dependency, of tefillah. And tefillah comes out. And that's why davka tefillah is suffering more than anything else in Yiddishkeit. Davening suffers the most. And as I said before, I just think that it's very hard for a person nowadays to feel that he is utterly dependent upon Hashem's Baruch. It's very hard. People feel much more secure than they used to. If you or I felt at any second there might be a couple of Cossacks, God forbid, coming through this door with swords, so we would our davening would be different. It's a shame that we need that. But we don't feel that way. And we feel safe and we feel secure and we feel that we're in charge of our lives. And that when you feel that way, so it's very, very hard to daven. But that's when a person really senses that he's dovek b'Hashem, that he has nothing other than what Hashem gives him. That's how the Maral explains the Seder of davening every day. Not here. In the Nesivos, he explains that, look how we begin Shemin Esrei, Hakel HaGodol HaGibur V'Hanoyer. Right? You praise Hashem, it's great and awesome and mighty, and so on. And at the end of Shemin Esrei, you thank him. And in between, you ask for what you need. Samal explains, why do I have to tell him how great he is? I mean, if by now he doesn't know Chas V'Shalom, there's no point in me saying it. So what's the point of beginning davening by this thing like, you know, you're fantastic, you're the best, you're great, and so on. So what the Maral explains is, of course Hashem Yisbach doesn't need to hear those things. It's meaningless. But you and I need to say them. And we need to think about them. Why? Because only if I believe that he's completely responsible for everything that exists, that he's God l'gibah v'anayra, and he's mechalka chayim mechesed, mechayim meisim brachim ram, soymech leifim, roifei cholim, if I don't believe that he's a roifei cholim, then when I come to that bracha, refeinu Hashem v'nei rofei, it's not going to be worth much. It's not going to be worth it. What am I asking? If I come to a doctor's office, I'm recommended to go. God forbid, I'm going there with someone that I love, and this person is mamish in the worst way. And I was sent to this doctor, and I'm standing outside in the waiting room, and I see that he's got like awards from every university, every genius, every profession in the world has written him, like all the haskamas. It's unbelievable. So you're looking over there, and you see one says on it, Mechalka Chaim Mechesed. You look at another Haskam, Chaim Eisim Rahman, Samech Neifim Haskam, Reifei Cholim, and each one is signed by this professor, this doctor. And you see that this doctor that you're waiting in the waiting room is God L'Gibah V'Nayra. He's God L'Gibah V'Nayra. So in accordance to your understanding of how great he is, when you see the doctor, you're going to know how to ask him. You'll pour your heart out. You say, please doctor, I want you to understand what's wrong with my child. This is what's wrong, and I beg you, because you could help. I know you could help. You're the only one that could help. And the doctor said, what makes you think that? He said, I saw in the hallway, it says over there, God will give of a Naira. Unbelievable. So it says in the hallway, you're the right man. You're the right man for the job. So we begin Shemin Esrei by reminding ourselves that we're avadim, that there's nothing. No one. Nothing, only him. And once you remember that and you think about that, suddenly you say, by the way, Baruch Shalom, since it's only you, I really could use a couple of bucks, you know? The same talamot levrach al pnei adam, I'm having a rough time. I could use a couple of dollars. But if we're having problems pouring our hearts out by tefillah, it's because, Baruch Hashem, we have much more than our ancestors did, Chazdei Hashem. We have a lot more. And it's hard to feel it maybe when you have. And B, we don't really think that it comes from him. Maybe we would say that it does. Everybody says Avada it does. But how come when they're standing by the doctor, they say, oh, please, please, you're great and awesome and mighty. Please help me, help my child. But when they're standing Shemin Esrei, they're like, you know, picking the you know, the toothpick, or looking at the watch, or you know, or dreaming about being somewhere else. If you'd be sitting in front of that doctor and you're there with your kid and your kid's life depended on it, you wouldn't be thinking of anything. You wouldn't be talking about it. Can you imagine? The doctor says, so tell me, what's wrong with your son? Hold on a second. Did you see those Yankees? He said to some guy there, you see those Yankees? Unbelievable, no? Son, the bottom of the ninth, 2 outs, Murray did. You wouldn't do that. You have to be out of your mind. Just like Neela, we would never do that. No, not from person would ever do that by Neela. But after a whole El and the Shoshana says Meitshuva and the Holim Kippur, even a Yid who's far away, when it comes to Hashem Elokim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, when he's saying those words, can you imagine? I'm not saying that anybody should try such a thing, but can you imagine the guy is holding by the seventh Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, and you lean over and you say, anything in the stocks lately? This guy who could be the like the worst davener in the whole shul, the biggest talker, the biggest knacker, Mr. Wall Street the whole week. On a regular week, he would look at you like you're from outer space if you did that. He'd think you're the craziest person on earth. And you could tell him afterwards, what were you so upset with? Are you out of your mind? Is Neil Hashem Elokim? What's wrong with you? So you could say, tell me something. Tomorrow Hashem's not Elokim? I mean, it's not? And it's not Hashem Elokim or Hashem Echad tomorrow? It's only for 1 minute of the year. Barely, because then a second later, it's like I remember as a kid, right? It was like Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and they were waiting for the rabbi. Maybe 3 seconds, Hashem Elokeinu Hemes. Not a whole neila. You have it for a minute, but for that minute, you know that you're hanging by a thread, like Rabbi Nachman said. For that minute, you feel it. Or like they say from the Rabbi Abuna from Shishcha, Rabbi Abuna from Shishcha says that Yom Kippur, Yid has to feel like his mamish, he's standing by the guillotine. And the executioner is standing there and he's holding onto the thing, the blade, and at any second he can let go. Rabbi Bunim said. So when a chassim said, Rabbi, what happens if you don't feel that? So he says, that means they cut your head off already. It means they already cut your head off. If you don't feel that in Yom Kippur, it means they already took David in there. So what does it mean? What does it mean to daven, shatfila, Hashem Elokim, Shema Yisrael? It's with that behiris. It's that with that absolute clarity, that behiris. So now let's finish the note. The last two lines on the page. V'imesalkem advekis, and God forbid, if one pushes away and rejects and detaches himself, how do you do that? Ayidei chait. By, God forbid, by sinning. By an aveir. Depends what kind of an aveir. It depends. Karis chulilu. The lashon karis is a serious, of course. Through man's chait, he is severed, he's cut off from that dveikus. Therefore, eitzel hadveikus. Now here's for Tu B'Shvat, Rabbi, so we're getting ready. Therefore, he says. Therefore, we find eitzel dveikus when talking about attachment to Hashem, we find that what that Torah uses the lotion of being alive. Shenema. Only those of you who are attached to Hashem are you really alive. Alive means forever. Nitzchias. The philosopher says it can't be. Can't be only the intellect. No. Only Dveikim to Hashem is Chaim, because then you're attached to the one who lives forever. V'yadui says, Ki ha'ilon v'hanofim kasher Dveikim b'ikr. It is known that the tree and the branches and the tree, that when they're healthy and they're attached to the source of life, then yesh lahem chayim and ikr, then the ikr, the source, gives them life, the root gives them life. But if the tree, if the branches, the bark is separate from its source, miyad ein lochaim. Nothing niftubishvat. All the meitzas sod. All the niftubishvat is kimcha mekorchaim ba'orach nereor mamish. Kimcha mekorchaim ba'orach nereor. V'chein kalsu begvurus Hashem. Kizav inina karbon shemaybi al Hashem is baruch al yidei zeh lo yov aleim amisa ki ach Hashem tevukim bayis baruch ein echad ma'abedes shalom. So the Maral explains kedarko. That carbon is the lashon of his karvis, which means to be attached, to be close. And there is such a thing that a person who has done something wrong can rectify the situation by bringing a carbon, and that by offering him the animal, which should be himself, upon the mizbech, and coming to Hashem's place of tevekis, and being dovek to Hashem through the carbon, that he's able to bring a repair to that breach that has been created, and that separation that has brought death upon himself. But when a person is close to Hashem, is attached to Hashem, then ein, Maral's Lashon is ein echad ma'abed es shelo. If it's you, then you don't get rid of yourself. When a person is attached to Hashem and you become included in Hashem, Hashem does not, chas v'chalila, reject himself. He only rejects the one who is separate and independent, chas v'shalom, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the one who perceives himself as being entirely dependent upon Hashem, it means that you're one of his own. You're one of the chevron. And nobody's ma'abed es atzma, nobody, God forbid, a normal person wouldn't kill his own child, and he wouldn't kill himself, a normal person. A person who has things the right way. So Hashem wouldn't destroy Kivyachal, can't be, but Hashem can't do away with himself. Not if it's himself. And if you are included in Hashem's Baruch, then Hashem's Baruch, then you have ultimate nitzchis. Doesn't mean in this world a person could die when he's 40 chas v'shalom, but he has nitzchis. Hashem, he's with Hashem for eternity. He's achieved immortality through that dveikus to Hashem. So we're up to Darvei Zebor, Bli Safek, right? You make a simon to remind. Darvei Zebor, Bli Safek. Shkayim.